Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Weekly Conversation with Kyle. I'm the man with the mic. What a wonderful conversation. I have got the biggest news in the history of all news, folks. I'll get to it as a federal judge halts the recount in Michigan, sealing his victory there. Well, I thought Trump already won this nomination, but liberals keep crying in their milk. Because we got to recount Michigan for 80th time, because maybe by the 50th time, he might win. Lord help us grow up. Time Magazine of the Year. You know that time every they have, like every year they have a Man of the Year. I'm surprised it's not like a gender, you know, like a Person of the Year or something, but it. Trump won Man of the Year, and of course, being the liberal buttholes they are, he is the president of the divided states of America, not united. And he made some comments. He just threw it right back in their face. A New York City commuter was a witness to an awe-inspiring act of kindness by a New York Police Department officer who was helping a homeless man who was illegally digging through the trash. He didn't arrest him or anything. He helped him out, and I'll get into that. It's the true meaning of Christmas. These are great times to be alive. It just is. There was another amazing story I'll get into during my program. Who watches The View? I'm serious, because I think Joy Behar. Well, Trump is messed up in the head. Who watches that? All the, they make no sense. I thought you were leaving. Get out of my country. I thought you were leaving because Trump won. Because you don't want America great. You want to have the globalist and nationalist take over and run this country. I thought you didn't. Get out of here. Leave. Can't believe anyone watches it. You know. All they do is bash God, people on the right, and anyone who's not a socialist. At a thank you tour stop in Fayetteville, North Carolina, General James Mad Dog Mattis said he was grateful to be nominated as the defense secretary. I'll get into my thoughts on some of Trump's cabinet choices and the media in general and all that stuff. So welcome to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of, folks. Hebrews 9. So also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. Kind of think about that as you're going through your day-to-day, and welcome. Holy cow. It took a federal judge to basically strike down, you know, halt the recount, sealing Trump's win in Michigan, saying this is dang ridiculous. Trump won. We don't need to recount this crap 75 times. Lord help us. Remember that old South Park episode where they, well, who'd you vote for? I don't know. It was like it was where Mr. Garrison was like the kindergarten teacher. Did you want Ike? I don't know. Come on, Jenny. Who did you vote for? I don't know. Here comes Rosie. Here comes Rosie. It was hilarious. But this is, I mean, seriously. Trump won the election. Move on. Obama won and we didn't cry. We wondered why no one did anything when there were Black Panthers threatening white people trying to vote. But we moved on. You know, I was listening just recently before the program, before I went live on the air, I was in the studio listening to this newest whole, it's the basketball coach. Let me see if I got his name. He's from Louis. He's the women's basketball coach from Louisville. The University of Louisville women's basketball head coach on millennials and the trophy mentality. Basically, they have these trophies, participation trophies. Now, I will say this. When in 93, and I've said this before, in 83 and 84, when we played baseball with the YMCA, and it was that baseball where you swing until you hit, so everyone got a chance, and after like 10 or 12 swings, they would just let you run to the base, and then from there you're on your own, and if you got out, you got out, whatever. You know, we did get these little two-inch little things that were just kind of like, they thought that a piece of paper was not going to last, and it was a way for you to remember 30, 40 years down the road that, hey, I used to play baseball, YMCA. We fought for these huge five-foot trophies, the ones that they were given for, like, the winners. They were, like, 4 foot and 3 foot and huge. That's what we wanted. But now they have these huge participation trophies. Everyone gets a trophy. Everyone, you know, I could understand if it was a little thinkly thing that I didn't. I mean, it was kind of like, just give me the piece of paper. What's the difference? It wasn't, I mean, we were fighting for that huge trophy. We wanted to earn the big trophy. Now they give a chance, a participation trophy to everyone. The big, and it's ridiculous because now these kids just expect that, okay, well, they expect that in life. Okay, sorry, folks. If you end up in fifth place, you're losers. What is second place? First loser. I mean, think about it. You might remember who won the gold medal. If you would have had a pimple on your nose, you might have beaten the guy. I mean, if I was an Olympic swimmer, I would find a way to have my fingers lengthened. Because an inch on my fingers might mean the difference between gold medal and silver. Because, I mean, think about it. Can anyone tell me, because I can't, okay, the 7 years that Lance Armstrong won the Tour de France, who came in second? You don't, no one knows. But these kids, here's my participation trophy. I got sixth place. So when I graduate from college, well, first of all, I should be given the ability to go to college. I shouldn't have to apply and see if they accept me. They should just accept me. I should be given a good job. I should just be given all this stuff because, hey, we were the worst baseball team, and we got the same trophy you did. It's nuts. But that's where this world is. Everyone thinks stuff's just, it's free and it should be handed to them. That's not how it works. That doctor's got to get paid somehow. Even if you give up your time, there you go. You're giving up your time. You're giving up your blood, sweat, and tears. It's nuts. And then you get these same millennials that,
well, I read in an article where, like, healthcare is free in North Korea.
Because there is none. That's how they can, that's, well, go over there. And you'll go and get a tour of a hospital. Oh, we had 20,000 people just come through here. They all had open heart surgery and they left. Well, that's what they're being told to tell you. They didn't have anyone in their hospital. Like I said before, these kids, they need to get out of their safe space. They need to get out of their sanctuary, everything. And they need to grow up. Sorry. Life
life, as a man, at some point in your life, you're going to get kicked in the balls.
No, when you have common core and zero equals no health insurance plus zero costing nothing doesn't equal zero. If you don't have it, they don't get it. They don't know what it means.
They don't, because they don't teach history. I mean, people believe that, well, you know, as Obama said, what was it that, you know, our founding, you know, some of our U.S. history is rounded in Muslim beliefs and all this. No, our country was founded by people that came here to have a freedom to worship Jesus in the way they wanted to, a freedom of Christian religion. I'm trying to think of what the movie's called. It's over there. It's a 700 Club movie, and they made it, and it's about the people coming here to this country on a boat to come to the New World, and about Jesus, about starting religion here. It is a great movie, and I can't think of the dang name of it, and I would have my wife look it up in the studio, but she doesn't know what it's called, so... It's like The First Landing, I think, or something. But it was done by the 700 Club, and it is. I could watch. I've seen that movie like 10 times. I could watch it. It's one of my top 10 favorites. It's just because it's. They wanted to go back to why we came to this country, and as my listeners know this, they wanted freedom of Christian religion. That's why we have a separation of church and state. So the government. The state doesn't run the church. So you don't have to take your sermon and have it approved. Father John, you need to get in here, sir. Yeah, we're kind of concerned about what you're saying in the sermon here. So we kind of edited some things out, things we don't want you to say. There you go. Thank you. Okay, Reverend Steve, come here. Reverend Steve, yeah. We don't know what this is about, but you're not going to be able to talk about this. We're going to have a... government defector in the room so that he's going to make sure that you don't say this, okay? Alex Jones, I was listening to him on my lunch break for like about half an hour, because I actually took the time and took a half an hour break because we have a lot going on at work, and when I was listening to him, he was talking about something, and I've talked about this recently, the state media, the establishment media, it's out the door. When you, because you talk to Alex Jones and you talk to other people, call C-SPAN. Like whenever they have like a thing, like when they have like a guy speak and they say, okay, if you're a libertarian, call this number. If you're a Democrat, call this number. If you're a Republican, call this number. They have screeners. And if you fit an agenda, they'll let you through. If you don't fit the agenda, they won't let you through. Like I've said before, that there was a guy that went on Jon Stewart's show to talk about why you shouldn't raise the minimum wage, and they interview him for like 4 hours, and they grill him, and they try to get him to mess up and screw up, and they cut and paste the interview, so it makes you look like you don't know what you're saying. How truthful of media is that if they sit there and they interrogate you for 30, 40 minutes to see what you're about before they put you on live air, before they put you on TV, on CNN. Journalism. Let's have four guys and we're going to interrogate them until, yeah, well, and then they pick the one that they think is best going to be able to, well, this guy may be a conservative, but he's easy to make him look like a moron. So we'll have him on the CNN with Anderson Cooper. That's why they have 20,000 views on some of those shows on CNN. That's why Alex Jones and RT, those networks, they're getting tons and tons of people. The only thing they really have left is NPR, where they're getting massive ratings. That's it. Because people are tired of the BS. They are. They're tired of the... Denzel Washington said it best. If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you read the newspaper, you're misinformed. People are wanting other forms. They're tired of an establishment media. Okay, well, they gave the town hall questions and the debate questions in advance to Hillary Clinton. You have NBC where he's still involved in NBC, but Brian Williams, oh yeah, I was shot down and all this stuff, and it was all a lie. Hillary Clinton, people want her in the White House, and you know, we arrived in Bosnia under sniper fire and this and that. She didn't do it, but they don't care. There's a portion of this nation that's hungry, that wants the truth. They're tired of bought and paid for media. I do this on my own. I don't get paid for this. I do this out of my own pocket. It's not free. Nothing's free. This takes money. This takes my time. This takes my energy. But I feel passionate about doing this. Because people complain, well, look at all these advertisements on Alex Jones's. Well, he's got a airway is not cheap. He's got to pay his bills somehow. People are tired of the establishment media and the same old song and dance over and over and over. That's why their ratings are going through the roof. That's why CNN, because people see through it. Yeah, people are tired of the BS. They know that, you know, it's sort of like, okay, there's a thing where, okay, I bet you $20, I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to roll two dice, and I bet you I can add up the top two numbers and the bottom two numbers faster than you can add up the top two numbers. Most people will take that bet. You roll the dice 14. Well, no matter how you roll the dice, the top two and bottom two always equal 14. If I do that to you and I get your $20, shame on me because I scammed you. If I do it again and you take the bet,
shame on you.
Shame on you. People are just fed up. I mean, like, I seriously want to know who watches The View. I seriously want to know who. I mean, all they do is bash God, any conservative on there, and anyone who's not socialist. And then they make these, well, we're leaving because this is bullcrap, you know. If Trump gets in, you really think that he's going to make America great? Really? You think he's just going to make a wave of magic wand and all of a sudden we're going to have jobs? Yeah, it's called one thing. Oh, wow. Let me see here. Well, if there's a tax, so if you get an incentive to move the jobs overseas, why don't you make there be an incentive to bring the jobs back? Why don't you give tax breaks? Because it costs money to take the money that you make in China and bring it back over here. You're taxed a whole bunch. If you lighten up on the taxes, more of that money is going to come back here. If you lighten up on the taxes and stuff to allow companies to invest in America and keep jobs here, instead of giving them incentives and tax breaks, you know, it's going to be 30% tax if you keep your stuff here. But if you move it over there, it'll be a 15% tax. Well, heck, I wouldn't want to pay 30%. Give me the 10% tax or give me the cheaper tax. Why would I want to pay more in taxes keeping the job here when I can pay less and move them overseas? Trump's not right in the head. I don't understand. Lord. I mean, I guess I liken the view to my mom in terms of my mom will sit there and say some weird, funny stuff to see if I'm paying attention.
That's because you don't pay attention. I do the same thing. You don't pay attention. I love you, but you don't.
My wife says I don't pay attention, but anyways, gotta love my producer. But anywho, I mean, that's how I feel. It's like, Trump's not right in the head. Okay, yeah, no, I'm paying attention. I mean, they could talk about, like, dinosaurs crapping aliens, and people are probably like, oh, cool, wow, neat. I don't understand. I just don't get it. I just don't understand where this nation has come to. But I think the elitists are starting to be scared now. Okay, the liberal media. Okay, let me see here. The stuff they tried to do through the media didn't work because no one watches the establishment media. So they try to bring it out to the streets with all these riots and all this stuff. And when people are fed up with it and like, we're not going to take anymore and we're going to try to stop it, and we elect Trump and all this stuff happens. Now what do we do? Now where do we go? Just think about it. Someday, those kids are going to be running the country. I mean, imagine if one of those like college kids now becomes president. Okay, we've just been bombed by Germany. Where's my safe space? Okay. You need to go on and talk to the public. Oh, I need my safe. Okay. I gotta talk to the American people. Where's my blankie? I need my hot cocoa. Oh Lord. Oh God. Oh, help me. Oh, where's my safe space? Oh, get me away from this. Is there a sanctuary speaker thing where I don't have to be near it? Oh, that's going to be running the country because they don't know how to deal with anything because they've never been taught there's winners and losers. You know, talk to Tony Hawk, one of the greatest skateboarders of all time. How many times has he broken a leg or a foot or got hurt? More times than he cares to count. But guess what? That's okay. You're not just going to pick up the drums and sit there and start playing. You're going to screw up and mess up. That's why you have a pair, like two pairs of sticks next to you. So like when you're doing something, if you drop a stick, just grab another one and go. Life is not perfect. But that's the game of life. But these kids don't seem to get that reality that there is real life out there, that there is, you're not always going to get your way. And you need to learn to deal with it. You're not always going to have a boss you like. There's going to be times where people leave work and you're going to get new employees and they're not going to be as good. That's how life works. And these kids better start waking up soon. I want to kind of switch gears here for a second. As many of you probably know, one of the most amazing Americans. He was my John Wayne. John Herschel Glenn passed away today. Born 1921, 2016. On February 20th, 1962, he was the first astronaut to orbit the Earth. He did 59 missions as a fighter pilot in the Marine Corps in World War II, and also served in Korea. He held the land speed record, basically in a plane, not land speed, but airspeed record, going from LA to New York at 726 miles per hour average at a time of 3 hours and 23 minutes. He was one of the first seven that was basically chosen to go into space and do the space program with the Mercury Project and all that stuff. Just, wow. All I remember is someday I want to go back to Walt Disney World. I want to do that. I did it when I was little with my dad had some business in Florida, and we went down there for like one day. And when we went there, I remember getting on this ride. I'm like, wow, this is neat. This is really slow. It was Space Mountain. And it goes really fast, and I was freaking out and screaming and carrying on. My dad's like, Lord, help me. That's my son. Because my dad's one of those, like, fearless people. But he is a smart person, though. Because he's one of those where he'd be like, okay, you know, I'll go up here, but if I can't tie off, if I can't have safety equipment, nah. You know, he does have some limits, but my dad's like my hero because he's just like, he seems fearless to me. He'll do almost anything. But that's how I looked at John Glenn. You know, like that guy would just, I couldn't imagine going into space. And when I was dealing with vertigo issues, my muscular dystrophy doctor told me this. She goes, well, you know what? Just tell your dad this. They spent billions of dollars studying why when the astronauts go up into space, they don't know why for like the first day or so, they're disoriented and very, very sick. And they feel like crap. And they still don't have an answer. Basically, I guess what they do is they'll give them like nausea medication stuff to keep them from getting sick and all that and whatever. But anyways, it's just one of those things. He was just like a badass to me because he was a World War II pilot, 59 missions. Then he went back and served in Korea. Then he involved himself in the space program. Then he served as a senator. That's just, I mean, it's just amazing. You know, he was just, wow. He was just a great guy, an American, just someone. He, in my opinion, was from a generation when you wanted it. Okay, you earned it. You wanted, okay. So I want to see a kid now be like, okay, yep, okay. I should be on Mars. What the heck? Yeah, I should just get there. No, you got to earn it. You got to go through the centrifuge. You got to do all these tests. You got to have endurance. I saw a video one time they put on the internet. It was on YouTube where it showed like high school kids like in 1960. Those high school kids in 1960 would whip a kid's butt now in a heartbeat. I mean, they showed them doing like 20 pull-ups and push-ups and sit-ups. And they did a thing where they, like, they're like the double bars where they like grabbed the double bars with their hands, lifted their bodies up, put their legs over the bars and like walk down the thing. I mean, stuff that now kids would be like, wow, man, I'm exhausted. You're exhausted? You just put on your gym shorts. Oh, I know, man. Oh, man. You know, I had to actually take off my shoes. There's about 30 minutes left in the program, folks, and thank you all for tuning in. You know, I guess I'd try to bring that Glenn back, that John Glenn back in America. And get, you know, that's why I think people are excited about Trump and excited about Alex Jones and these networks where these alternative networks where people are like, hey, do something. Get off your butt. Because that's what we need in this country. You know? Well, Trump's not even president. Oh, but he's president of the divided states of America. He didn't divide America. I know who did, though. Good old Obama. Oh, he didn't do that. That's not him. He didn't. Nope, Obama didn't. Obama didn't divide this country. You could say he didn't do it. I don't know how you can believe that, but he sure didn't do anything to stop it. You know, this is something the liberal media won't talk about. A black homeless woman says that Trump allowed her to live in Trump Tower rent-free for 8 years. Why won't the liberal media brag about that? Because it doesn't fit their agenda. It doesn't fit their narrative. It's, wow. But the truth's out there. You just gotta find it. They don't. Merry Christmas. New York Police Department cop shocks homeless man at Grand Central Station. When I saw two cops around a homeless man in Grand Central today, I thought I knew exactly what would happen. I couldn't have been more wrong. I was waiting for my train in Grand Central this morning when I saw this homeless man opening a trash can and started sorting through it, as New Yorkers are conditioned to do. We turned our backs and let him continue picking through the trash, looking for cans to redeem. This is incredibly common in New York, so common, in fact, that you don't even think twice about it. It's something sadly has become, it happens so often that people come desensitized to it. And they just ignore it. On this day, though, two cops saw him and ran over. As New Yorkers know, running is undignified unless for athletics. We merely walk at a running pace. Therefore, running always draws attention. People turned to see what was going on as the cops reached the man and started to explain to him that it was illegal to open trash cans, and so he needed to stop. The homeless man protested, but the attention caused the cops running over, basically, as these cops were running over, you know, they didn't know what to do. And basically, they helped the man out. And it was just, you know, that's what Christmas is about. And they'll buy him socks. And the homeless man was shocked and kept shimmering. Are you serious? And they wanted to help him out and get him some things he really needed. And it was just awesome that they would go out of their way to help that man with like ripped shoes and all this stuff, but they would help him out. And he was just so shocked and so grateful, because they could have just said, okay, yeah, you can't do that. We're going to give you how could they find him or anything? It's not like he would have anything to give him. And they just wanted to give back to the man. With all these shootings of cops, you know, they're still human beings. And it's just nice to see them actually do something and help him get some socks and some shoes for a guy. Because someday you're going to be down on your luck, or something's going to go wrong, or you're going to have an issue. Everybody wants a transplant. I want a kidney. I need this. I need that. Everyone's quick to ask for it. But would you be quick to donate it? I want to ask all my listeners to think about that for a little bit. You'd be running over there to get, I need a kidney, or I need blood, or I need this or that. But would you be the one to go up there and say, okay, yeah, I want to donate? I have a rare blood type. Out of like 100 people, like 2 or 3 have my blood type. So I know what it's like. My mom has one of the rarest. So I know what it's like. You know, that's why I have no... I mean, I'm sometimes too generous, but that's me, you know? I don't know what it's like to be on top of a... to be a gunner on top of a Humvee with a 50 cal. But I'm eternally grateful for those guys that have been. And not only do they deserve and demand your respect, they should be treated like the heroes they are. You know, none of our veterans should be treated the way they're being treated. And we finally got a commander-in-chief that's going to do something about it. I mean, we got General James Mad Dog Mattis being nominated for the Secretary of Defense. We couldn't have a better guy. I mean, because if Hillary got in, we'd probably have like Ahmad Abdul Ahagi or some one of them people running our Secretary of Defense. It's nice to have a general running it. Someone that's going to bring this country back. You know, I own a gun. I hope I never have to use it, except for shooting down range practicing. You know, we need to have a strong military. I pray to God we don't have to have a World War III. I pray that we don't have to use it, but they're there if we need it. I mean, there's been some media outlets that said that we elected one of the most anti-war Republican conservatives ever. And I think they're right. But, you know, he's racist. That's why he let a homeless black lady live in his Trump Tower for 8 years rent-free. That's the kind of guy he is. When an airline can't take a guy because he's sick, Trump steps up and takes him. That's the kind of president we have. When they want to, oh, it's going to be $42 billion for Air Force One. Yeah, that's, well, yeah, it's actually going to be more like $150 trillion, but you know. And he said, nope, sorry, I'm canceling that order. What do they do? Oh, well, we're going to restructure. We're going to cut costs. We're going to make it. There you go. He talks like a businessman, cutting the costs. Not necessarily quality or anything. United Airlines used to have like a maintenance hub at Indianapolis Airport where they get their planes maintenance. And they had, I call them like giant cabins, but it was like a platform that, like, when they bring the planes in, they can move this platform in and you can get on this platform and you can plug in your welding equipment and stuff. I did a lot of the electrical on them and helped out wire a bunch of it and doing all these platforms and everything, and long story made short, the company that was doing it, that my dad works for, they were getting call after call. They were getting, like, cursed out. Well, when they're getting $100,000 for these and $95,000 for these, my dad's making a killing at $20,000. When my dad's like, dang, you're ripping them off for $20,000, and they were just mad because he goes, I'm making more than enough money off them. They were just taking advantage of them. And that's what Trump believes Boeing's doing. They can probably do the same thing they were going to do for a heck of a lot less money. Like you said, I want them to have some money, but, you know, really? Like, I don't play that. Sure, like if you ever go to, because I invest in precious metals, you know, mainly silver, but silver, gold, platinum, palladium, all that stuff. But if you ever go to sell it, don't take the first offer. Always reject it. 9 times out of 10, they'll go up. If you ever go to pawn anything, give out, print out a high number. Who cares? If it's worth $100, offer $100. I'll probably get $100 as well. You know, 50. We go 60. Barter. That's what Trump's doing. Okay. $4 billion is your first number. I'm saying, let's try that again. And they'll probably do the exact same thing. They probably won't change a dang thing, and they'll probably lower the price by $1 billion or whatever. $1.5 billion. It's nice to have a businessman in there that knows what he's doing, that can that will negotiate. It's just nice. This is another feel-good story. I have a couple of these, and I thought this is, you know, because we're not doomsayers. We're not Debbie Downers. We're just calling, we're calling it like we see it. And I like every once in a while some people say that they love these feel-good stories. And this is one that gets to me. Hundreds of military families ring in the holidays with free Christmas trees. A very special delivery for at least 500 families happening at Fort Carson in Colorado on Monday. The Trees for Troops program provides free Christmas trees to armed services in all branches of the military. The trees are donated by families and community members across the country. The program delivers trees to 65 bases in 17 countries. It just means so much to me, said 7-year-old Lurzik Fisher. It was very, very special and absolutely gorgeous. They get a tree. Is that? And then that to them, that just means the world. That's, hey, someone is thinking of me. It doesn't take much. Oh, it's just a tree. Okay. Well, you know, how hard is it to walk up to a vet and say, "Welcome home, soldier. Thank you for your service." Let them know that they're appreciated. That means, and that's what that's doing. That's what it's doing. I mean, there's a story I want to get into now where this kid basically found $20 on the street near Toledo, Ohio. This was with Steve Hartman on CBS News. This kid found $20, and he's like, "Oh, I could buy this, I could do that." And he goes, "No." He goes, "There was a soldier in there in the armed services, and he gave him a $20 bill. And he gave it to him with a note saying that, you know, you remind me of my dad. My dad died when I was young and all this stuff." And it's just... And he's a young kid, but when he was like 5 months old, his dad died. And it brought me to tears. It's just, you know. And he wanted to pay it forward because that's the kind of dad his dad was. And he basically, you know, "Thank you for your service. I'm going to pay it forward. Here's $20. And that letter that soldier keeps with him all the time now. And it just meant the world that he thought enough of more than just himself to give to others. And just, he was just like, and now he tries to do the same thing and pass it on. I've been to a couple of restaurants and I'm like, "Yeah, that guy over there, whatever table it is, I'm buying his meal and I'll just pay for it." And I don't even say, I just do that. And then when they leave, they go to pay their bill and said someone paid for it. And it just, I don't brag. It's just something, it just, I guess when you, when I was a kid, Christmas was the greatest because, oh, what did Santa bring? What did this do? What did, and now I get to, it's like, I can't wait to see the look on people's faces when they, when I give them, you know, when I do something. You know, it's just one of those things that sometimes it's better to give than receive, and you can get a lot from just doing that. And just to see, those are some neat stories that, you know, because it's the holidays, and we need some uplifting stories. And seeing those free trees, you know, it doesn't take much, folks. It means a lot. Look what Jeff Foxworthy did the other day. $25. $25. And that made, I'd make my day. I'd make my day. I'm like, yes, sir. It doesn't take much, folks. But that made that lady's day. You know? Doesn't have to be money. You know, my dad has a snowblower out. He'll just start blowing people's yards. I mean, driveways and stuff. Yeah, snow blowing their yards. No, I don't think so. But their driveways. My dad my dad knows what it... Because my dad grew up in an era where, you know, you walk to school uphill in 10 feet of snow with no shoes on both ways. And that's, you know, up in Pennsylvania, up in the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre, that's how it is. Where he grew up. You know, my mom grew up the youngest of 11 kids, where they would go into the kitchen where it was the warmest, and they would take a wooden basin and they would boil water and fill the basin up, and the first kid got very hot water and the last person got cool water, and they switched up the rotation of who got a bath. I remember when back in the day, like in the late 70s, early 80s, houses sold around here like that. No, they didn't. They took months to sell. My parents put their house up for sale that we're in, like, and that day it sold. Someone bought it. Okay, we don't have the house where my parents are now built. What do we do? So, a second family of mine, Benny and Charles Beyer, they said, okay, you can live with us. And we lived in the garage. And in their garage, we had a mattress and all this. My mom literally was the frugal type that when me and my sister took a bath, my mom used the same water because she didn't want to waste their money. Because she grew up in an era when you did for yourself. You learned you were frugal. You know, making a pie was a big deal. And you would take the excess crust and roll it out, put cinnamon and sugar, and bake it. How on Easter, that's when you had ham. Now you can get a ham sandwich every dang day of the year. When my mom grew up, ham was like a once-a-year thing. Those 25 things you do with turkey after Thanksgiving, those were a blessing because it was one of the few times of the year that you actually got turkey, so you enjoyed it. Now that people have turkey this, turkey that, 25 times a year, it's not a special thing anymore. I love morel mushrooms, and they're huge around here to find. But if I could get them all the time, if they grew all year round or they could cultivate them, it wouldn't be as special a thing. I know my wife's like, oh, Lord. You and mushrooms, I don't get it. A fungus. But I'm just saying, you know, if you can, and I think it all, as I finish this little rant up, it's all going back to, well, everyone just thinks they're owed. I play baseball with my trophy. I'd love to see someone go, there's your certificate. If you wanted first, second, or third place and wanted the trophy, you should have tried harder. Got about 8 minutes or so left in the program. And I want to thank you all for tuning in, wherever you are, East Coast, West Coast. But it's nice to see people like coaches and stuff waking up and saying, yeah, see, this is what happens when you when everyone should be treated equal. And because I watched this video that I saw someone post about the differences between Obama and Trump. Well, Obama and like Hillary Clinton want to allow women to have a baby that if it came out, it would be alive, but take that baby and have an abortion with it. Kill it. Trump doesn't want abortion. What was the other one? There was one like, oh yeah. Well, Obama thinks that you should hire women and minorities, where Trump feels you should hire anyone you want to. So I should have to hire a woman or a black man, a black woman that's less qualified. So like if I have a choice between a more qualified Asian person or a less qualified black person, I should have to hire that black person because I have to have a quota of minorities working for me. I mean, if the black guy is the most qualified person, he'll get the job. If the Native American is the most qualified person, he'll get the job. I should be able to hire whoever I want to. I shouldn't be forced to, well, sorry, you know, pretty soon we're going to have like help black wanted signs, you know. Well, I would hire whites, but, you know, I don't got any blacks working with me and I have to have a, you know, I get some tax subsidies. I get some help with my taxes and I have to hire at least two black people or else I can't get those subsidies and that really helps me out. You want to be crippled by the government or do you want to be free? You know, our forefathers didn't come here to be ruled by kings and queens. Well, we are ruled by kings and queens. It's called the Democrats and Republicans. Whoever you want to call the king, whoever you want to call the queen, or whatever. But it's ridiculous. And it's great to see people waking up because they can't handle the fact that people like Alex Jones are huge, getting huge ratings. They can't handle it. Because, well, wait a minute here. All this stuff that they thought, well, look it. We're proving them wrong. And it's going in the right direction. And it's going in a good direction. You know, it's nice to have people stepping out and coming out and doing these amazing things. I mean, Obama played the race card. Hillary played the woman card. America played the Trump card. Because Trump didn't have to help that person that was unable to get to where he needed to go for his treatment via the airline. He did it because it's the right thing to do. He knows God's blessed him with money and a great job and a great thing. Now he's giving back to people. He's helping out. He didn't have to give that black lady. He didn't have to do that for her and give her a place to live. He just did it because it's the right thing to do. Now I want to quick get into a little bit of the English Premier League, folks. And we are still in sixth place with 21 points. Chelsea is in first at 34 points. And we play this Sunday. We play the Tottenham Hotspurs at 9:15. Like I said last Tuesday, we got to figure out because we are our shots on goal. We have the highest percentage of shots on goal, but we're not getting them past. And I honestly think we just need to take and we're being too predictable. I mean, a lot of the times it's like you either need to take the shot or something because by the time there's just I think they're just too predictable. When I always used to be afraid to go to the bathroom because you never knew what was going to, like, as soon as I go to the bathroom, even if it's just to pee in between there, they might do something amazing. And then you have to watch the replay to figure out how they score. How'd they get in there? Okay, it went off of Dimitar Berbatov and the Cristiano Ronaldo to Rooney to Park. And they, well, whatever. The play I'm thinking of, Park scored. But even if Rooney, you would have like, holy, it went in? Now it's like, okay, shoot the ball, Walt. Okay. Sergio Aguero stopped it. I mean, they need to be less predictable. They need to get speed. Like, when they're at the goal, they need to be going back and forth and crossing and just stuff that I hope picks up. I hope that they're just, it's work. Because they got great players. It's not the players. I don't know if it's that they need to learn to work together or what, but they need to find a way to get that percentage of shots on goal being more goals instead of just one. So that's just how it is, folks. And I just want to quick before I forget, December 20th, I will not be here. I will not be doing a program that Tuesday. And the Thursday, the 22nd, I will be doing a program. I got obligations on the 20th, so I'll not be doing a program. I apologize. But the 22nd, I will be. And then I'll be taking the next week off because I'll be with family and friends for the holidays. So we'll be taking a week off. So just so an FYI, I will be doing a show on the 13th. 15th and 22nd of this month. So I want to thank you all so much because I don't have a program without y'all. And I don't, you know, and it's just, and it's nice to have listeners that understand, that wake up. And about 90 seconds left in the program that listen, you know, that understand, that are smart, that know, okay, well, that if I ask 90% of my listeners, they would know, well, okay, Fidel Castro is very, very bad. Trump, we have to wait and see. I think he's going to be great, but we'll have to wait and see. I can tell you who's bad when they interview these kids and they don't. I honestly want to see if I can go and, can I borrow one of your, go like the sixth grade or whatever? I want to borrow one of your history books. I want to see what the heck and read it and see what they teach these kids. Because they don't, I don't know if it's because they don't care and all they do is go home and play video games. They play Minecraft all day or whatever. I don't know. I just don't get it. But I want to thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in and listening and just get the message out about the program and keep it going. And with the firm reliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our fortunes and our sacred honors. Until next Tuesday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.